If you like baseball, then this is your show. Noah and Brian and Adam will host. Trashing on the umps and making hot takes. We love Joe Panic because he rakes.
Yeah!
It's Nonstop Baseball Podcast. It's Nonstop Baseball Podcast.
What is up, everybody, and welcome back to episode 135 of the Nonstop Baseball Podcast.
We back.
We are back, babies. Another week. We are officially in mid-May. The end of the school year, at least for the West Coast, is soon approaching. I'm very excited to just dedicate even more of my time to baseball as a teacher. But yeah, I am Noah, joined as always by Brian and Adam. You could follow us at Nonstop BB Pod on Twitter and Instagram for both of those places. And yeah, let's just get right into things. Brian, how's it going?
Dude, I am wonderful. I played 36 holes of golf this weekend, in which the first 18, I shot my best ever 76, 4 over par. I was clicking on all cylinders, and I was honestly as happy as I could be. I played golf a long time. Only shot in 70s a couple times and never as low as 76. So I am absolutely pumped, except for the fact that the Giants stadium is like kind of similar to a morgue right now.
Dang.
Ooh.
That's
there's just everyone's hurt.
Brutal.
It's just bad. The Giants have 7 guys from the opening day on the injured list. And that's not including the guys who were injured before, but from opening day roster, 7 guys are currently out. And that doesn't even include Patrick Bailey, who's currently puking it up with a concussion. So it's just wonderful out in San Francisco. Golf is great. Baseball is rough. How are you guys doing?
I mean, not too bad. This weather's getting properly hot, which that's fun. So summer.
I play golf in Hollister. I felt that.
Yeah, summer quickly approaching.
Yes.
Which, you know, good stuff.
Love it.
Yeah, I just did my second half marathon over the weekend. It was the quote-unquote Yosemite half marathon, but it was the Bass Lake marathon half marathon. And it was a bit of an adventure. The day before the half marathon, got a message that one of the shuttle services backed out last minute, so there's going to be less shuttles. So we got there really early, but we're just waiting in a line forever to get to the starting line, and things were delayed, and it was difficult to find a porta potty with toilet paper in it, which is not That's good lovely. For a half marathon where many people definitely need some toilet paper. But yeah, it was good. That finished
sounds
strong.
Like a great time.
Did it. Yeah, it was great. It was ideal. No, but it was fun. Did it with my fiance and her family, which I did my last one with. But last time I just kind of ran solo. This time I ran it the whole thing with my fiance, who her goal was under 3 hours. And we were like on pace for like 2.5. And I was like, let's go. And then she started getting the calf cramps. Oof. And it was, you know, it turned into walk, run, walk, 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 run, walk, run. And we finished in 2 hours, 59 minutes, 25 seconds.
That is lovely. So, was there like a sprint to beat the clock at the end? Or
a little bit, yeah. She,
a little bit? It was like, oh, we're not going to get under 3 hours.
Yeah, I was like, yeah. It was funny because like, I didn't know what to say. I didn't know whether to push, whether to lean back a little bit. It's like, do I mention the 3 hours? I'm sure she knows about it. And then as we were getting, she just took off and I was like, okay, we're going.
I love that.
And yeah, it was great. But yeah, highly recommend. Eventually I want to get up there going further, but it is kind of crazy to think about doing 13.1 miles and then doing another 13.1 miles in the same day as a full marathon runner does. So, yeah.
I must say, I will take your highly recommendation as a recommendation. And I will root you on and not partake in a half marathon.
Do a 5K, do a 10K.
I'm down for a 5K. I could do 3 miles. After that, I'm not a distance runner. There's a reason I played baseball as a kid. You only got to run minimum amount of like space at a time. Like 90 feet in baseball, Little League, we're not running 90 feet. I think it's like, what, 45, something like that. But I'm more of a softball 70 feet. I got about 70 feet. Maybe occasionally I got like a good 140, maybe even a 210 if need be. But anything more than that, not my specialty, we'll say that. Four over par golf round. Love that.
And no, yeah, but it's funny. It sounds like we're all doing pretty decent, and I think we're all doing better than Ronald Acuña
here. Oh, I was going to say our baseball teams in general, but
yeah,
that one. Yeah, that's too true. But who I'm just looking at this now, as it's been a bit of a busy week, so I'm perusing, you know, baseball Reddit and stuff. Apparently, has been picked off at first in 3 consecutive times he's reached base, which is
not good.
What you would call unacceptable.
I feel like this is almost like an overcorrection of him stealing so many bases last year. I think part of stealing 70 plus bases is a cockiness and a willingness to go, and maybe he's just cheating a little bit too much to second. I have a feeling that has to be what it is, right?
The one today too was like he just didn't even. He was called like safe originally, back right? In the first. Yeah, he just but he did like the step back and I was like,
oh okay.
If you've been picked off 2 times in the last 2 games,
you gotta give more.
You effort. Gotta, yeah, you gotta.
I feel like the Braves in general though are kind of like in cruise control right now. Like it must be hard for a team like the Braves to care in May.
Yeah,
I know if that's a crazy statement, but like you have so much talent and like you just kind of got to stay in playoff contention and then turn it on when it's time to turn it on. I don't know if I'm crazy for thinking that, and maybe that's a big reason why they're just not invested in the May games, which
I mean, a tough look. Yeah, they are 25-13 with a bunch of players not performing at their best. So
Ozuna's kind of them right now, of all guys.
Yeah, Ozuna is going off, and it's kind of a little like it's almost like the Phillies and the Braves have reversed roles, where it seemed like the Phillies were like, we'll just hover around there and then we'll be in the playoffs and we'll destroy in the playoffs. It almost seems like it's kind of flipped, where the Phillies are the locked in team through the regular season and the Braves are the ones that are just looking to get into the playoffs and see from there.
Yeah.
I don't know. Well, I guess there is one big story that stands out to me this week. Do either of you guys know where I'm going here?
The A's winning baseball games?
We've been used to that.
Okay. That's come on.
Obviously. I don't know. Brent Rooker is kind of like MVP candidate if you only look at the last week.
Hey, that's
the small victories, right?
Good for Brent Rooker. I'll, you know, love it. Is it Vlad Guerrero doing a cartwheel, trying to tag somebody that out?
Pretty athletic. Cartwheels are kind of my thing, and he's coming after my heart with that one. A first baseman doing a cartwheel, I love that.
Absolutely love it. I'm going to assume it wasn't those.
Yeah. Very good guesses, but I guess for me, it's the Paul Skeens debut.
That was a big thing.
That is a good one.
Yeah.
I forgot about it because of what happened immediately after his debut.
What was that?
Oh, yeah, I was,
the pitcher who replaced him afterwards did, I think, the most abhorrent thing that you can do as a pitcher.
To a debut.
Well, what happened? I don't know. I was in full half marathon mode.
Okay. So, I mean, first let's sing the praises of Paul Skeens. Dude looked nasty.
Yeah. If you look at starting real quick, fun stat. If you look at starting pitchers fastball velocity, currently as of today, like 9 of the top 10 hardest pitches thrown by starting pitchers are Paul Skeens, and he's made one start.
Yeah, he is like the hardest throwing starting pitcher ever. you know, with just a right nasty away.
Splitter,
dude, and a yeah. nasty slider. Oh and my, nasty slider, yeah. that slider is I mean, gross.
This guy has to be the most hyped pitching prospect since Strasburg, right? I can't think of a pitcher.
Yeah, probably.
It's been more
like from college for sure.
Yeah, yeah. Like just more anticipated, I mean, like coming up through the minors. Like yeah, we've had big debuts and then they become a big thing, but I have to sneeze. Straight off the bat. Straight off the bat. Yeah. We knew he was like the day he was drafted, he was like the number one pitching prospect. Like,
yeah,
this dude was supposed to be that guy. And I mean, he showed some of it, but continue.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Easy 100, too.
Oh, he
looks really easy. I just want to say that.
Yeah.
Break this down for us.
And he had a pretty solid start. He took it into the fifth inning, started off the fifth inning and gave up a couple of hits. And they swapped him out. And he was 84 pitches in. Up to that point, he'd only given up one run. He had seven strikeouts. He was absolutely dealing. The man who replaced him, though, Kyle Nicholas, who, if I'm running the Pirates clubhouse, is already gone.
And this is after a weather delay, too, correct?
This is... No, I believe... this is before the weather delay.
Oh, before the weather delay. Okay, I thought Paul Skeens was pulled because of the weather delay. I didn't realize he was pulled after.
No.
Okay.
He was pulled Skeens was pulled before the weather delay. So Kyle Nicholas comes in and is just inaccurate. Utterly missing the zone. He gets a couple of strikeouts on just people fishing for pitches. And then the Cubs realized something. They realized this dude can't hit the strike zone. Just stop swinging. So with two on and two out, he hits Ian Happ with the first pitch. Ooh, dude, unlucky.
Quick side note.
Yeah.
Is there a lonelier place in the world than being on a pitcher's mound when you can't hit the strike zone and everybody knows it? Like that.
Yeah,
is...
no, it.
That
it
is
sucks.
A lonely place.
So,
like, even in softball, it's a lonely place when I can't hit the strike zone.
Pitching. Yeah. So, up until this point, Kyle Nicholas has come in. He has thrown essentially two pitches in the zone in the two strikeouts that he got. There was really only two pitches in the zone. The rest of them, were everything else was swung at or bad called strikes. So he comes in. He hits Ian Happ with a pitch that loads the bases. Two outs, bases loaded. Just get an out. Four straight balls to Nico Horner, walking a run. Lovely. Four straight balls to Michael Bush, walking a run. Four straight balls to Miles Mastroianni.
Okay. One thing I do want to point out here
yeah.
is at this point, as a coach, why is he still out there?
No
if
idea.
He hit a batter and threw eight straight balls. That next batter should have never. He should have never been there.
He would be gone after walking in Nico Horner.
Yeah,
if I'm doing it,
I don't understand that as a manager. Like clearly your guy has no clue where his zone is, and it's like, oh,
yeah.
Like I don't know.
Yeah. So he comes in and yeah gets two strikeouts barely, and then throws 13 straight balls, one of them being a hit by pitch, to walk in three runs.
That is just...
They pull him. Josh Fleming comes in. Walks in a run.
Jeez.
And then a single to tie the game. And then the rain delay happened. And then they replaced Holder... Then they replaced Fleming with Holderman. Walk in Seiya Suzuki. Walk home a run.
I'm and looking then... at the box score.
Oh, it's bad. They walked in six runs in an inning.
Dude, that is just... How's... Like, get a better bullpen.
What get a better bullpen, here? First off. Throw strikes. And I was... It was funny. I was talking to my dad about it because he had seen it a little bit too. This is easily the thing in baseball that pisses me off more than anything else on the planet. Is... quote unquote professional athletes literally incapable of doing something that high schoolers do, which is just throw a strike, put yeah. it in the zone, let your fielders do the work, dude. It's two outs. Like it's two outs and you've got Nico Horner at the plate. Like
stud.
Don't get me wrong, I like Nico Horner, but like,
he's not a Grand Slam.
He's not Trout.
Yeah.
You know, okay, fine. You walked in.
He's the guy you throw to in that situation because he's most likely not going to hit a home run to hurt you.
Yeah.
Not that he can't, but like more than likely, Nico Horner is not the guy you're scared of on the Cubs to hit a bomb.
Yeah.
But Nico Horner, a contact guy is more likely than anybody to put it on the ground.
Yeah.
Which is what you want there.
But I'm going to show you this. So MLB.com has the pitch like tracker thing. I'm going to show you this at bat to Nico Horner. I want you to find the first pitch.
Oh. Was it behind him?
Pretty much, yeah. It's outside of the window that you can even see. And then pitches 2, 3, and 4 are also miles out.
Looking at this, it's an issue with the manager, dude. How? Why? Mm-hmm. Like, it should have been the fastest pool. Yeah.
These aren't close pitches. These aren't even remotely competitive pitches. I mean, it was a slider that basically flew, out of this stadium. And then 3 straight fastballs that had zero chance of ever touching the plate. It might be the single most offensive display by a bullpen I've ever seen. Like, genuinely offensive to Major League Baseball. like,
that is insane.
I'm like,
what's the Bob Costas clip where
Pedro Strop, yeah, looks to the sky. You can only assume looking at some long past relative asking for forgiveness, dude. And you know what the funniest thing about that Costas clip is Pedro Strop really didn't do that bad in that outing. I've like looked it up at one point. He like gave up like a run.
That's an insane quote for giving up one run.
Oh yeah,
this guy probably is thinking of his dead relative and asking for forgiveness.
God. But yeah, anyway, genuinely made me like angry how bad this was, because it's the kind of thing that like that has no place in professional baseball. It's the MLB, man. I don't even expect that kind of trash pitching when I go watch the Modesto Nuts. Like, that's a low A team, dude.
Yeah.
Even they can hit the strike zone.
Look, people have off days, and I think that's something important to note. Like,
yeah,
granted, this feels like more than an off day, but clearly the pitcher wasn't feeling it. And, like, I keep coming back to this, but, like, what is the manager doing? Like, was there mound visits in this? Like, or was it literally just straight walks, no mound visit?
Because
I think we can look at
this. This was no mound visits between any of the walks. Yeah, bro.
That's insane. You hit a batter and walk 3 straight guys? Was that what it was?
Yeah. Hit a batter and then 3 straight, 4 pitch walks.
Honestly, that third batter, I don't know if he should have ever been faced. You hit a guy and then 4 straight walks. How are you not at least... you have to face 3 batters now.
Yeah, you have to face 3... Well, he struck out. Remember, he struck out too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Technically, they could have pulled him after he hit Ian Happ.
Oh, so he just he hit Ian Happ and then got the yips. That's what it sounds like. He hit Ian Happ and just lost all his
confidence. He wasn't super competitive in the zone even before that.
Oh, how did he get the strikeouts? That's insane.
I told you. They are straight up fishing for. I'll post the things in here. But it's just fishing for bad pitches. Like, I think that Bellinger and Morel straight up just like fished for some rough pitches.
Those are some on the corners though.
Yeah, like that for sure. They're on the corners.
That was a good at bat.
They're not like super bad. This one's pretty bad. Like 2 strike calls that were questionable, and then a bunch way out of the zone, and then a bad swing on a slider in the zone. Like the 2 strikeouts were, you know.
I don't know. Those are pretty good strikeouts if you think about it. Like they're decent. He was setting up for them.
Sure.
Like the first at bat, he went high fastball. In the dirt, which O2 count.
I have no problem with that. And then it's good
swinging strike.
The first strikeout was pretty solid. The second one, you get 2 really borderline calls for strikes. Okay.
The first one I would say is a good call.
Actually, the first one's a pretty good curve. Call because it is a curve. Yeah. So it spent most of the time in the zone.
The fastball's a pitcher's pitch. Like I'm assuming he's a righty coming across the zone. He got a good call there. tough for the batter. I don't know. That's wild, though. Compared to the other
at-bat. Oh, yeah. Compared to the other at-bats, it's unreal. Anyway, yeah. So all of this to go back to the fact that Paul Skeens looked incredible, gets charged with two runs because of this. So Skeens ends the day with a 6.75 ERA, which he shouldn't have, because he really only gave up one run. It was a solo home run. But anyway.
Starting pitching in Pittsburgh's exciting, though. Starting Jones has been very good. It's a rookie.
Dude, starting pitching in Pittsburgh, I'm pumped for it. Relief pitching, fire all of them.
Let's sign some guys.
36-year-old Aroldis Chapman should not be your best bullpen arm.
There's a world where that could check out, but, like, where is everyone else? I mean, 19-23, that division... That's not really winnable for them.
No.
I was trying to twist it, and I was like, I can't even try. But, like, I do like their rotation. Mitch Keller, Jared Jones, Martin Perez. You add in, why am I blanking on his name?
Marco Gonzalez. Paul Skeens. Oh.
Yeah, Paul Skeens, and then Marco Gonzalez is your five? Like,
it's a good rotation. It's a
good rotation. David Bednar, I mean, he's had some really good moments as a closer, so hopefully he finds it. Hunter Stratton, that's a name. they definitely need one that day.
So shout out
Ryan Borucki. Interesting.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. Boy, that's an old Jay's name right there.
He's on the injured list. Yeah. But that Joey Bart, shout out my guy.
did Joey Bart have to catch that atrocity?
Probably, maybe. Or they no, I forgot they signed no, they signed Grandal.
No, it was Grandal. Grandal was catching that one. So we can't blame
for RBI.
We don't have to blame Joey Bart for it.
Hey, Joey Bart has a 7.95 OPS. He's kind of feeling it in Pittsburgh. I'm excited for him. I could tell you the Giants would love to have him right now with their myriad of issues. Tom Murphy, who they signed to be the backup catcher, out for a long time. And Patrick Bailey's puking his guts out with a concussion. So Joey Bart would look nice right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, oh, Giants, we didn't talk about the... Yeah, dude. Okay, I want to talk about it. The Giants are in a tough place, guys.
They're injured pretty bad.
They're injured, and it's just like... I mean, they're winning 3-1 to the Dodgers, so I guess depending how this Dodgers series goes, like, if they come out of it alive, like, if they find a way to win this series, it's obviously a very different situation as Pages, the rookie for the Dodgers, just laced a double. The Giants are very young. You got Casey Schmidt playing shortstop. Matos is in center field because Jung Ho Lee separated his shoulder against the fence trying to rob a home run. It's just, let's see who's all hurt. So you have Conforto hurt. Hurt is like I want to say it was a hamstring. Running, you have Jorge Soler out hurt. I want to say I'm not gonna guess all their injuries because I'm gonna get them all wrong. But Jorge Soler, Conforto. Slater's out, Jung Ho Lee. Four of your five outfielders from opening day are out right now. It's so bad. They called up every outfielder on the 40-man. The Giants have no more outfielders on their 40-man roster. They had to call up outfielders to AAA because they were like, we don't have any outfielders here. They're all in the big leagues or hurt. Like, it's just... Outfield is a problem right now, and catcher is a problem right now. I mean, you have your top two catchers hurt. That's not ideal. You have your top four outfielders hurt. It's also not ideal with your shortstop being out. And Nick Ahmed, granted, I think Casey Schmidt might be better than Nick Ahmed. And, I mean, he's making great defensive plays. Had a walk-off hit the other night on Mother's Day. I think Casey Schmidt's just going to kind of take the job from Nick Ahmed as long as he can kind of hit. I mean, it got ugly last year, right, after his record-breaking start. But the Giants are in a tough place, but they're getting pitching, and I mean, Jordan Hicks is pitching pretty well against the Dodgers right now. 82 pitches, he's in the fifth inning, no outs, so he probably, this is his last inning, I would assume. We'll see what the bullpen does. Bullpen's hit or miss. Back into the bullpen's good, but the Giants are... I mean, it's just to let the kids play. I feel like this season's going to turn into what does the future of the Giants look like? Like, if these kids can ball out, like, okay, we can kind of move with this core. If they're not balling out, it's going to get rough. But shout out Lamont Wade. Lamont Wade is the Giants' best hitter right now. And the dude's a stud. And honestly, in national eyes, is probably extremely underrated. I believe Lamont... Oh my, yeah, just made a diving catch. That was insane. Sorry. Mid-sentence watching the game. That was crazy. Flat out vertical. That was wild. Okay. What was I talking about?
Lamont Wade.
Lamont Wade is so good. He has the second highest on-base percentage of any first baseman this year. I think the only one higher, I want to say, is Freddie Freeman, which when you're being mentioned in that category, that's wild. So shout out Lamont Wade. Also, the other big thing happening in baseball that came out this weekend is we're getting all this data on swing speeds coming out. We've never really had data, and it's kind of all over the place. Like, there's not really any connection between swinging hard and being a good hitter. Like, there's some guys, like, obviously, if you guys had to guess who's swings, who has the lowest, like, miles per hour?
Oh, I haven't lowest seen average lowest. I know fastest.
Yeah, fastest, I know. Lowest, fastest I have no idea.
Who do you guys have for the fastest?
Oh, Stanton.
We saw it.
Yeah. Okay, and the there's two guys, three guys that are pretty much well ahead of everyone else in lowest swing. And if I say them, I think the top two really make sense. The third one's a little more surprising, but it probably has to do with something else.
No idea.
Okay, the top two is Luis Arraez and Stephen Kwan.
Okay.
Both contact-oriented guys who are really trying to get bat on ball. That really checks out to me. Luis Arraez is like almost 4 miles per hour. So that everyone's pretty much above 66 miles per hour average bat swing except three guys. Luis Arraez is barely above 62.
Jeez.
Which is kind of crazy. And Stephen Kwan's right above 64. And the other guy part of this list, which you guys would never guess, is Justin Turner. Which I guess maybe you would guess it, but I guess older Justin Turner, it kind of makes more sense. He's become more contact oriented. Am I crazy in saying that?
No.
Well, yeah, and he's just someone that two strikes, he is just going to throw his bat at the ball as opposed taking full swings.
My favorite, though, of all this data is Juan Soto, because you see here, let me send this tweet I'm looking at to you guys. But this thing really just makes it look like Juan Soto is a unicorn. Oh, yeah. We also have the data of like length of swing, but Juan Soto just sticks out there as like, for average bat swing and squared up percentage for the swing, Juan Soto is just like way up, and like he's just literally by himself on both these. And then you look at fast swing percentage and like squared up, Juan Soto's still like on an island by himself.
Yep.
So shout out him. There's also one more really funny thing that I need to find, so you guys could talk about it for a second while I look for it.
I just love this graphic of like swing length, and it's Stanton versus Arraez, and Stanton with like a 9.7 foot total and Arraez with a 4.4 foot total. And it's just, I think especially looking at Stanton, just like that guy's so big.
Yeah.
Like the bat travels so far and is coming so fast that it's a little hard to believe.
Well, I mean, that's why there's swing and miss in his game, though. Like this, it's really going to be interesting how this develops with baseball, because the early look at the data is like there's not much correlation, but like at some points there is. But like there's also guys on this list you look at and you're like, okay, why is that guy there? Like, like the second highest average swing speed's O'Neill Cruz, which isn't shocking, but like. It's just like, oh, okay. And then Mookie Betts is like well below the average swing speed. Like, not that I wouldn't think, like Mookie Betts definitely is a contact guy, but I would have never said he's like a low swing speed guy, like overall.
Yeah, it's weird because I think about Mookie Betts, I think of like getting to inside pitches with quick hands pulling. And it's like, it's weird. It's like he still has quick hands, but not the fastest bat speed at the same time.
It's not,
yeah.
And I think that's the other thing that's very interesting is like quick hands versus fast bat swing. Like, what really is quick hands?
Yeah.
It this data, I mean, you gotta play around with the data. Maybe I'll play around with the data if I find it. But it'll be very interesting what comes of all this.
Yeah, I mean, just yet another metric to look at and be kind of like, ooh.
Yeah, it's fun. I cannot find what I was looking for, and this is frustrating. But, like, yeah, you look in the top 10 average bat swings, there's Joe Adell's number 8, Christopher Morel's number 6, and then the names around is Stanton, O'Neill Cruz, Kyle Schwarber, Matt Chapman, Ronald Acuna Jr., Aaron Judge, Julio Rodriguez, and Juan Soto. Like, yeah. You wouldn't expect Joe Adell and Christopher Morel to be in with those other guys. But, like, I mean,
I don't know. Christopher Morel hits some tanks, dude.
He does. It's just, I wouldn't have been shocked if him being top 50, but top 10, like, I guess. Mr. I don't know. Christopher Morel is, like, the most interesting player to me because he plays so many positions.
Mr. May, too. Second year in a row, he's killing it in May. 10, 14 OPS, 5 homers already. I mean, he loves May. He's a May guy. What can I say?
He's just a May guy. 5'11", 145.
Dude, that's not right.
That's what it says.
That and can't be right.
145, I mean, is...
No.
I don't know, but that means I'm the same height as him, and I got 100 pounds on him. So that's a tough look.
Hey, I mean, you know, can't all be professional athletes.
That is so crazy. Oh, but yeah, it'll be very interesting what comes of this. Like, squared up is such an interesting stat. How they have it is like you have your contact percent and swing percentage on competitive swings only. Like, I'm so curious what they're dictating as a competitive swing. Like, I guess you're not considering the swing at the curveball in the dirt a competitive swing, so this metric's probably helping off your bias a lot.
well,
I don't even know where his bias on it. Let me find it.
I mean, it depends on what you're looking at for bias.
Yeah, bias has a red swing speed. I mean, his contact percentage is 31%. If you asked me his contact percentage, I would have said less than 31%. So competitive swings is definitely helping him a bit. Oh, there's a metric for swords. Is that just like...
Yeah, swords is like...
swing and miss.
It's swing and miss, but under us, and it's an incomplete swing under like a certain
mile per hour.
Yeah,
or
under a certain mile.
Interesting. I mean, the top 5 of this, it's a lot of big names like Kyle Schwarber, Austin Riley, Fernando Tatis, Eugenio Suarez. Like, I'm guessing those are like just aggressive swinging guys. Your boy Jaren Duran's up there, Noah. 9 swords. Yeah. I mean, yeah, they're going for it. And the I'll go for it.
He'll just kind of throw his bat contact guy as well, since sometimes he gets fooled, not gonna lie.
Interesting, though, because, like, everybody else up here is a power.
That's true. So, this is true.
I'm not sure what that says about his contact ability, but yeah. I will say his contact rate, let's look at it compared to everyone else.
Well, swords doesn't have to be with 2 strikes, right?
Correct.
It's just any...
Yeah,
so
swings.
I think...
So yeah,
yeah, I think
if you
want
to know
count, he'll
what
like...
the actual thing is, it has to. This is what it's the glossary definition is what they're saying. It is pitch must be a swinging strike. Bat must cross the front face of home plate. Swing must be incomplete, so the bat head crosses that line but doesn't like come back. They're not like trying to pull it back. And it has to have a bat speed that is in the 10th percentile or lower. So
yeah, I think that's earlier in the count. He'll just kind of guess a pitch and sometimes he'll be wrong. And he has those little swords trying to do damage. I think that's what I would say based off of my limited viewing of Jaren Duran.
I am so intrigued by this. Like, Lamont Wade Jr. is like among the top 10 in shortest swing length. But like, he's like... Him and Corey Seager are the only two in the bottom 10 of swing length who are like above average bat speed. It's a very interesting thing. Like, Lamont Wade's fast swing rate is 22%. Seager's is 14%. Everybody else in this top 10 is under 5%. Like, I don't know. It's just so interesting to look at. I'm so curious what all this means. So much data.
Yeah.
Oh,
love it.
I haven't put any actual thoughts. I'm just talking. But
one thing that you can't quantify is the power of a sausage.
Oh, as God.
The twins.
I can't believe it made it through customs, and I'm mad about it.
What? When Carlos Santana got drilled in the head after hitting his home run. That was just a pure doink right off the top of the head. And then Correa, like, it just genuinely startled him. And it was pretty great. So, dude, you know, what's more important? Yeah. I mean, what's more important, average swing speed or whether you have a rally sausage?
A summer sausage that you take to every park that you go to. That, yeah.
I really hope it's just like one specific sausage. They keep bringing the one moldy sausage.
No, it is.
No,
that is exactly what it is.
Oh, that is so much better. I love that.
Yeah.
I hope they have like a little lunchbox they carry it in too.
I think I've seen it's practically just like saran wrapped, but maybe that was just one image of it. But anyway, point is, it was funny. There's a lot of Blue Jays fans who were like, I can't believe Canadian customs let that through. Come on. How dare they? It's sabotaging the team.
Honestly, yeah. How dare they?
Oh, they really have it packaged up. I'm looking at it. That is crazy.
Yep. Look, stranger things have happened, you know? That's.
I just see this Twins tweet. The Twins are half a game out of first place with an off day today. The sausage takes on the Yankees tomorrow in Twins territory. It's just, I love that so much.
You know, I talked about trying to explain the dinner time OPS to my fiance, Nancy. Telling her that the Twins have a sausage that they've been carrying around, at the same sausage, was one of those things where if you're not into baseball, you are very confused.
I feel like that's, I don't even think that's baseball specific. That's just like sports, like weird sports.
It's a superstition type thing.
Yeah. Like, it's a weird sports superstition. Yeah, that transcends just baseball.
It's just like if something good is, it's more true in baseball. Golf, it's pretty true too. But like, people get really superstitious. I'm sure it happens in football and other sports. I'm just less.
Yeah.
Well, you don't hear about stuff like that in football nearly as much. Like baseball is very publicly superstitious.
Yeah.
And honestly, it's part of what makes the sport great. Like things like the sausage and things like, I mean, it could be the smallest or biggest thing ever. Like the Giants had their rally thong in 2010. Like it's sometimes the dumb things just take over and it's great. I love it.
Yeah, that's...
Oh man. I don't even know where to go off of that.
Yeah, that's really...
I could just share an exciting thing that happened last night. I am doing fantasy baseball for the first time. I was going to... We do like... It's a very strange league. I know maybe as that's doing fantasy baseball for the first time, I don't have the right to say that, but I believe it is strange. Because it's category based, right? And you go head to head with the person, but then the standings aren't based off of whether you won the matchup or not. It's like based off of the categories that you won that week.
Yeah.
So if week one, you won 7 out of the 10 categories, your record would be like 7-3.
Unless so, you tied some, then it could be like 7-1, and you tied.
Yes. Yeah.
Like it's very odd and like. For me, I mean, like, I had a really bad start to the year, a lot of injuries. The last 2 weeks, I've been really good, and I'm, like, 17-2 over the last 2 weeks, and I'm barely, like, above 500 now. Like, it's really weird how it works. But,
yeah, winning every category is important, and, I mean, I was going to win my overall matchup no matter what, But I was, what was it? I was tied in runs and I was one behind on home runs. And in comes Brandon Nimmo on my team to pinch run. And then he ends up getting it at bat later in the game and hits a walk-off home run to, on the very last swing of the week, tie me up on home runs and take the lead and run scored. And it was just like, it was a lot of fun and probably sucked for my opponent as well. But just imagine, like, I don't know if he was watching the game or not, just being like, oh man, it's like, wait, is that Nimmo? And then just boom, just takes 2 points from you practically right at the end of the week. And it was, that's tragic. But shout out Nimmo, you know, still kind of getting the slugging going, but on base machine, underrated. But yeah, I was speaking of the old Mets, talking to the homie Greg, I was like, oh, wait, well, London is closer to France than the United States is, fun fact. And the Mets are going to be there. I was like, are you going to go? And he, I guess he's busy. He can't. But he's like, I'm trying to get to New York ASAP and see, see good old Citi Field. And I was like, okay, I'm sure that'll be great no matter what. And I was like, might want to wait a year or two, let the team build up, you know?
Yeah, like they're talking about that 2026 window. Maybe you just
plan ahead.
Yeah.
Dude, do you know, crazy side note, Pebble Beach is like all booked out for the next like 3 years of tee times. Crazy fact.
Hmm.
It's nothing to do with baseball at all, but just found that out over the weekend. That is wild.
Let's talk about some Pebble.
No.
Okay.
Let's talk about some baseball standings, though.
Yeah, honestly, some pretty surprising stuff.
I have a hot take right now.
Yeah.
Maybe it's not that hot, but as of right now, I think the AL Central might be the best division in baseball.
They still have there's still the AL East. So, you know, the AL East still has five good teams. Jay's debatably at this point, I guess.
I wonder if we Central do the math, what the win percentage. Yeah, but like the three is better than the top three of the AL East.
Sure.
Currently, record wise. I don't know, man. I'm happy for the AL Central though.
We have absolutely dumpstered on that division constantly.
A lot. Like, if you go back and listen to our prediction episode, I don't remember, but I would assume we were not too kind to the AL Central.
I think we've been pretty brutal to just both of the Centrals in general.
Yeah, and
also back it up, the AL East currently has 7 more wins.
Okay. Yeah, I mean it's hard to
It's hard to drag the White Sox. The White Sox are really your anchor there, AL Central. Figure that one out.
Yeah. I mean, the White Sox are the White Sox, but like, you can't let one bad team like kill your vibe.
No, sure.
Let's be honest.
So their last 10. Let's go, Chicago, baby. Haters, stand up.
Okay.
Haters, step aside, dude. Southside, yeah. Chicago coming back.
What was it? I forget what he said. That was my favorite call of the year so far.
Say it loud, say it proud for all the haters. Southside, stand up.
It was so good.
But dude, the Guards, the
Chicago White Sox.
Guards, Twins, Royals, though. Crazy top three.
Dude, they're all fun to watch right now.
Yep.
Yeah. Like, that's the thing. They really are. I mean, the Guardians need Stephen Kwan to get healthy. And they're playing, they're still winning without him, but like, man, Stephen Kwan was so good for them. It just bums me out. But I don't even know, man. The divisions, I feel like, are not too, there's nothing too, I can't say there's nothing too crazy. The A's are in third place.
Yeah, the Astros have dragged themselves out of the muck. They are in fourth now. On a technicality. Right, so,
They beat the A's into the ground today.
Yeah. Actually, I think they are officially properly in fourth, but whatever. Astros kind of figuring it out. The Astros offense has been awesome. It's been the pitching really has been the problem.
Oh, I had a good hypothetical.
Yeah.
How many people would Josh Hader have to strike out in a row to like get back into all-star consideration? Because he was so bad at the start.
To
get into, wait, what did you say? All-star consideration?
Into all-star consideration? Yeah. He'd have to, I think he'd have to punch his, he'd have to immaculate like his next like five saves.
Yeah, I was thinking, I said 18 strikeouts in a row, you have six good saves in a row, then you like, I think
he has to be
the crowd going.
He has to be pretty untouchable the rest of the way. I feel like
to the ball, to the overall. To the All-Star break, yeah.
And I mean, one thing that we should note about the All-Star break, fan vote for relievers, right? Is it like a couple of them fan voted?
No, pitching is like,
is it all
players
picked
and
by
coaches,
a coach?
Right?
I have no clue how the All-Star voting works. I think
it's always
what I'm
position
right
players
now.
Is more fan.
All-Star vote MLB.
Yeah, All-Star vote. Yeah. How does the All-Star
voting, voting guide? That's what I want.
How does this work?
Okay, the winners at each position.
Yeah,
three
pitchers,
outfielders.
Pitchers and reserves will be determined via player ballot.
Player ballot. Okay, so yes, he needs to be untouchable.
He needs to be actually untouchable. He's not going to get in on name
here's
alone.
A great here's a great question for you. Speaking of all-star ballots,
okay,
what are the Chicago White Sox like all-star advertisements going to be like that are like vote for your Sox? Who's going to be on those?
I think if you're the White Sox, you just don't run that campaign.
I think if you're the White Sox,
I have to look at their roster because I don't know.
Sorry, this name just jumped out to me. How did what? Paul DeYoung leads the White Sox with 6 home runs.
Oh, that's my dog.
What? Like imagine Paul DeYoung.
What?
On
wait
a
minute.
Sox
huh?
Advertisement.
Hold on. That doesn't make any sense.
I think you just put Eloy in the All-Star game because he came back from the dead.
I mean, yeah, that's pretty good.
I mean, that's a textbook dinner time OPS there, 610. So
wait, shout out Corey Lee, their cat. 27 games played, has an 807 OPS.
Sorry, no, I'm shouting out Eric Fetty, who's pitching pretty good. Solid 3 ERA, over 45 innings, got 44 strikeouts. More importantly, MLB.com has his nickname as Fettuccini.
That's insane. I could see Crochet being their guy too, just because he's had so many strikeouts. I mean, 64 strikeouts over 46 innings.
Is dealing.
Yeah, so he's been pretty good. I mean, maybe they just do a reliever, throw a reliever in there. And the reliever has been dominant.
Not really.
I love the idea of where were you the day Tommy Pham was in the All-Star game wearing a White Sox uniform. That is. That is something I want to be alive for.
Would be wild.
I mean, I just want to, yeah, something weird. Like, Paul DeYoung, weird, love it.
would make no sense.
Robbie Grossman, that would be fire. Martin Maldonado.
I just can't get over Paul DeYoung actually being, pretty decent this year, considering how, I'm frankly disgustingly bad he was for the Jays and Giants last year.
Yeah, just imagine that advertisement of Paul DeYoung, Tommy Pham, and Eric Fetty all arms crossed staring at the camera. Yeah, with smoke. That's pretty incredible.
So Ohtani currently has the highest batting average with .358.
Yeah.
And Martin Maldonado's OPS is currently .336.
Dude, Maldonado.
Yes,
sucks.
I just compared an OPS to an average.
Yeah.
And
that's bad.
The crazy thing is they have another two guys or another guy who's played 20 plus games. It's not like it's just Maldonado. This Braden Shoemake, I've never heard of him.
Oh,
he also has a .368 OPS. They have so many guys batting under 200. This is ridiculous.
That Maldonado OPS dude, that OPS of .336 over 24 games is rough.
Benintendi has negative 1.4 war. How do you do that?
Yeah.
You want to talk about someone that my dad was sure that was going to win MVP in their career?
Honestly, the fall off of Benintendi's career is insane.
Crazy. Yeah.
Yeah. I wonder if it, like, well, I mean, he was starting to fall off in Boston too. And I, you know, I did curse him in our, you know, one of our first few episodes, saying he would never have a higher OPS than whatever 2018. Mm-hmm. Like that would be his highest of his career. But I mean, Kansas City, but he was a solid. Bad? Yeah. Like, I don't know. I guess it's just maybe you started your career like at the top. You were a Golden Spikes winner in college, sped through the minor leagues, came up, were impact player for the Red Sox. You know, had a really solid year in 2018 when they won the World Series. And then it really hasn't been the same. 2019 was, yeah.
Those Royals years are respectable, though.
Yeah, but, you know, slightly above average, you know, well, decently above average.
A two-war outfielder, you're not, like, he shouldn't be this bad. I guess that's what I'm kind of saying.
Hmm.
Like, yeah. this is bad.
He had an incredible season. We always talk about the slash line, the 3.45. In 2022, which was, you know, a really solid year, don't get me wrong, he had the 3.33 slash line.
Yeah, that's
304, 373, 399. Which is, you know, not the worst, but it's just funny, a triple three.
Yeah, I mean, the slugging and on base are dangerously close to four, but yes. I mean,
yeah.
I'm not mad at Benintendi with those numbers as a third, fourth outfielder. This is just pathetic.
Yeah.
Dude,
the White Sox, man, that's rough.
And they're paying him a good amount of money, aren't they?
And to think,
yes,
they have more wins than the Marlins.
Oh, God.
The Marlins are pathetic.
Yeah, the
honestly, Jazz Chisholm has lost all credibility in my. I don't want to hear that dude on another podcast.
Ever. Did he do something else? Did he do something else?
I mean, Jazz
no,
hasn't
he
been,
hasn't done anything else.
Jazz hasn't
but
been
like,
that bad, though.
No, no, it's not about Jazz being good or bad. It's about Jazz saying we couldn't play freely and like. Now that all these bad veterans are gone, we're going to be playing loose and we're going to go out there and dominate and like talking all this stuff.
Oh, sure.
And they've been straight up.
They've been bad.
Useless.
Yeah, they've not been good. I mean, granted, part of that, right, is you still don't have Sandy Alcantara. You lose Yuri Perez, you know, so
yes,
arguably your best 1-2 pitchers are gone.
Their offense is horrible.
Tim Anderson, as we've talked about, is. Bad.
Jake Berger, bad. They brought him in last year from the White Sox.
Yeah.
Jesus Sanchez, one of their top kids, bad. Nick Gordon, bad. Josh Bell, who you're literally only paying him to hit 6.45 OPS, bad.
Yeah, it's not great. Brian De La Cruz, hey, not bad. Doing all right.
Not bad.
He's
gonna get traded.
Yeah.
They've already thrown in the towel. They traded Luis Arraez. That's as throwing in the towel as it gets for them.
Yeah.
Jazz Chisholm's going to get traded. Like, there's a lot of talk about getting him traded. Now, I don't know, man. Trading for Jazz Chisholm is going to be interesting.
But yeah, so, I mean, there's an interesting kind of hypothetical. Who do you think, if he does get traded, who even gets Jazz Chisholm? Who ends up with him?
So he's a very versatile player, so like he can fit. He's a very versatile player. He can fit anywhere, and like that will appeal to a lot of teams. Like the fact you could throw him in the outfield, you could throw him at second.
Yeah,
like that's huge. I don't know if you still could throw him at short. It's been a while since he's played short. But who knows? It'll be interesting though if like all of the like locker room comments and all that stuff like. Does it affect? Wow, I just saw his real name. I never knew his name. Jazzerado. Jazzerado. Jasrado. Jazzerado. Jazzerado Hermes Arrington Chisholm Jr.
Okay. So someone else is also named that.
Heck of a name, dude.
Yes. That's generally
that's how that works.
Actually, I'm gonna name. I want to name my kid a junior, but like not be Brian. just explain it, dude. I mean,
Pinguino Junior.
I'm gonna I'm gonna have a kid and name them Senior.
I mean, my cousin. That's so wild. But I have a cousin who's technically the second. Okay. My uncle does not like Junior, so he named his son the second.
I mean, the second's way cooler anyway.
Oh, it is. But like, my other uncle only writes Junior on all the
Are you kidding me? I would much rather have Vladimir Guerrero the second. That sounds way cooler. Oh. Are you kidding me? That sounds badass.
This is true.
That's someone who's going to take over your country.
That's a history textbook.
Already taking over your country.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's, that's a history textbook name right there.
Yeah.
Ooh. But yeah, the Jazz Chisholm trade is going to be interesting. I think next year, so you get a year and a half of him if you trade for him.
Yeah.
So this is the time to trade him if you're the Marlins.
Yeah.
I don't know what the Marlins' future looks like because their offense is pathetic.
Yeah, it's rough.
And like, there's no like exciting young kid on their offense either. I mean, maybe Brian De La Cruz. He's 27 though.
That's young enough.
He's older than me. But
jeez.
I mean, he only has two. He has 2 years left before. I mean, he's pretty much the same as Jazz.
Yeah.
They maybe have an extra year of control of De La Cruz. It's weird how those, like, they break those up sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, man, dude, the Marlins are pathetic.
In this rambling pod, do we want to just play a round of wavelength and get out of here?
Ooh, let's do it. Let's run it. Who's going to be?
Yeah, I think I was the only one that didn't go last time.
Okay, go for it.
So I'll do a random number generator here.
Ooh.
Okay, I got it.
Oh, you randomed it.
And randomly?
Yeah, I don't want to. Yeah.
Not even choose.
That's fair, that's fair.
Okay.
Yeah. So
two questions per person?
Okay. Okay. Sure. Okay. You have one, Adam?
Not right now, not off the top of my head.
Okay.
Me formulate.
Well,
oh, wait. I have a good question.
If you want some time, I could.
No, I have a good question.
Okay.
Give me a glove color.
Oh, okay.
You can give me a shade too, like because there's like the dark browns, the light browns. You've never thought about gloves like that, like.
Not
you can
really.
Give me a combination of colors if you want. Wow. Okay. This is crazy. Then let me. I can switch up my question. Then I can switch up my question.
Okay.
Give
I have one.
Me...
I think I okay, have go one. For it. A home run call.
Ooh.
Oh.
That might be a tough one, but I know you've seen plenty of broadcasts, so.
See.
Yes.
That one's interesting though, because I feel like it's easier to name the good ones than the bad ones. Yeah. This might say a lot.
Sure.
Yeah. The number. Okay. This is good. Can I just give a call in general?
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be like a specific, like this home run. Yeah, as much like, you know, because some like broadcasters will have like their whatever their trademark call is.
They have like a specific.
It could be like a trademark. Yeah, it could be like a trademark call. It could be a specific moment call. Any of those.
Okay, I'll go with the Bob Uecker. Get out of here for the Brewers.
Okay.
Interesting.
Okay.
Interesting. Okay. Give me a second baseman.
Second baseman. Let me think about this.
Bob Uecker home run call plus the second base. Oh, you got one?
No. Is this currently playing?
I mean, I guess I'm open.
Oh, yeah, I got it. Ketel Marte.
Okay.
Okay.
Noah did say a lot of good things about Ketel Marte in the playoffs.
Interesting. Okay.
I think. All right. Unless my memory is completely wrong.
All-time Red Sox player.
Ooh.
All-time Red Sox player. That's a good one. Let me think. Based off of purely, I don't know, I'm just gonna answer for myself because that's what I'm doing. Jackie Bradley Jr.
Okay. Give me a month baseball is played in. Like prior, there's better months and worse months.
That's good.
I'm trying to go out of a little obscure with my questions.
Yeah, and I'm not okay.
It's not hitting on a month. It's just saying.
Yeah,
it is what it is.
For sure. I'll go with. I guess June.
Okay. Hmm. June Swoon.
Okay.
Interesting.
All right.
I'm gonna be honest. My mind couldn't be more empty right now.
I'm gonna guess. Yeah. I mean, I'll give my guess. I'm gonna guess an 8.
Okay. I was not thinking that high. I was thinking Bob Uecker home run call. The second one. What was the second question? Was that second baseman?
Second baseman. Yeah, second baseman.
Ketel Marte. June. And Jackie Bradley. Noah was a big Jackie Bradley. I remember him saying, big June baseball fan that would check out because he doesn't work during the summer. I like your 8 number a lot. I was debating about 7, but I think I got to go 8-2. Yeah, I'm going to lock in 8.
It is 8. It was 8.
Okay, yeah.
It was 8.
Wow. Yeah, felt right. It was funny, the Bob Uecker call, because I was like, personally, I don't like that call. But then I was like, it is kind of a goofy call, which I feel like is why you like it.
Yeah, I think I just like Bob Uecker as a whole.
Which,
more.
That's fair.
And
yeah, totally
so,
fair.
And like, that's just his call. So I'm like, I was going to go with, if it was just any call, not a home run, I was going to go with the Cody Bellinger throw to third base against the Giants, Fleming. It's so high. Because that's not going to go down as one of my, you know, greatest calls of all time, but it makes me laugh so
but
hard.
But it's so funny. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's good.
Yeah, no, that is a great one. Yeah, the Jackie Bradley and the Ketel Marte really locked it in for me because I feel like those are both guys that are just they're your type of baseball players. Like they may not be superstars, but like they're solid players. They play hard and they definitely both play a style of baseball that you really like. And I think
Marte overall, I would just legitimately rate as like maybe like in terms of strictly second baseman, not rating overall players as like an 8 out of 10 with when you're looking at the position. But Jackie Bradley Jr. is just someone I just love watching the game.
Yeah.
That is one, if someone is not aware of your love for Jackie and the Red Sox, maybe a lot more confused.
Yeah.
Yes, definitely.
You're like, dang, I got an 8 out of 10, Jackie. All right, sure, whatever. Yeah.
I kind of like this game, though. I think it's a good way for us to end our podcast.
It is.
Oh, so maybe it's something that will stick around. We're adding segments. Look at us.
Wow. You know.
I guess we've played the segment game. We did it a little bit. Uh-huh. We had some segments in the past. But with that, I think that's going to wrap it up for today.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. And with that, we'll see you guys next time.
Later.
Goodbye.